that is very much the aspiration. So what I wanted to discuss today is the way that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of telling over the story on the night of the 15th, it's really not just telling it over, but as we know, as Chazal say, of actually reliving what it meant to go from slavery to freedom. Me'avdos l'cheiros, chayev adam liros es atzmo ki ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. A person has an obligation to, as much as possible, to experience what it means to go from a state of degradation to a state of exaltation, as we will discuss tonight. You know, and it should be mentioned at the very outset of the shiur that the truth of the matter is that the powers of imagination that are required for this differ based on people's life circumstances. You know, I grew up having the Seder almost every year, not every single year, but almost every year with my grandfather, Zichrono Levracha, who had been an Eved for 4 years in the concentration camps. So for him to imagine, Avdus L'Cheiros didn't imagine, he just had to remember. It was his grandson, so I had to sort of derive it from him. My children, God willing, will be even further removed from any such experiences. So there's something incredibly poignant for all of us about what that night means, where we try very hard to tell our children and our grandchildren why this all matters, why being Jewish matters, why being part of this story matters in every single generation. And we try to go back to the beginning and try very hard to make it relevant to them. And that's exactly what the Mishnah requires. The Mishnah says that we'll start with Mazgulo Kosheni, that the second cup is poured. V'kanha ben Shoel Aviv, and the child should ask, and as the Mephorishim know, the child would ask because the child is habituated, hopefully, to seeing Kiddush on Shabbos. So after Kiddush, right, they don't refill the goblet, they don't refill the cup. So the child will ask and say, "What? What's happening here?" That's the hope. If he remains asked by Ben, but if the child's not paying attention, either not paying attention this night or not paying attention every week, depending, right? Could be either one. If he remains asked by Ben, Aviv Malamdo, so the parent should teach. Manishtana halayla zemikol lelos, etc., etc. That this night indeed is different. Sometimes this is a question and sometimes it's not an interrogative, but it's actually a declarative that we distinguish this night for all other nights, etc., etc. Then the bolded part, Masro Begnus or Messiah B'Shevach, that the narrative arc of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim starts with the degradation of the Jewish people, and it concludes B'Shevach, which literally means to praise, but it could mean that which is praiseworthy about the Jewish people, a state, as I say, of being elevated. V'Doresh Me'arami Overavi, Ad She'igmar Kol HaParsha Kula. And then it sounds like as a separate clause, in addition to Mascho Begnosu Messiah B'Shevach, so one should expound upon this section of the Torah, which is a section of the first fruits, the section of Bikurim, Arami Oved Avi, which isn't just the Bikurim, but what we call the Mikra Bikurim, that when the farmer would come to the Beis HaMikdash with the first fruits, there was a special recitation that he was meant to say. Now, in truth, it's also a very beautiful thing. Initially, what would happen is that the farmers who knew how to do this procedure, who they knew the proper text, so they would actually recite it. And if people didn't know, so then the Kohen, who was there in the Beis HaMikdash to receive the fruits, so he would recite it for them. But what do you think happened? And people were embarrassed because nobody wanted to be the one that didn't know. And people didn't, therefore, bring their Bikurim. So they made a takana eventually that nobody, even those who were very learned, they wouldn't say it because the last thing that we wanted was to exclude anybody from this a very important ceremony, which is a very reminiscent, of course, in its own right, of the whole concept of the Seder, where we say, Kol dichven yesei v'yechol, kol ditzrich yesei v'yifsach, where we try to bring as many people in as possible, and even the most indigent person, we say, Lo yifchesu lo me'arba kosol shel yayin, is the communal responsibility. We were just talking about it, of Mo'os Chitim, of providing for all the Seder needs so that everybody can participate. So that's another parallel here between the Mikra Bikurim. So let's just take a look at that section in the Torah, and then we'll come back and see how the Rambam very beautifully was able to tie these two aspects together. Maschal Begnus and Messiah and B'Shevach, sort of the narrative arc of the story, and then how that relates to Mikra Bikurim. So Mikra Bikurim goes as follows. Ve'anita ve'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha should state before God, Arami Oved Avi, literally translate, my father was a wandering person from Aram. Question is whether this is a reference to Avraham Avinu, is a reference to Yaakov. Different Rishonim have different opinions about that. Vayered Mitzrayim, and he went down to Egypt. Vayagor Sham Bimtei Ma'at, and he was there, small numbers. Vayisham Legoi Gadol Atzum Varav, became a very great nation there, very populous. Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim Vayanunu, and the Egyptians oppressed us terribly. Vayitnu Aleinu Avodah Kasha, and they gave us not just work, but hard work. Vanitakal Adonai Elohei Avosenu, Vayishma Adonai Eskolenu, Vayaras Anyenu, Vayasam Aleinu, Vayaslachatsenu. So we cried out to God, who is the God of our forefathers. In other words, even then we had a sense that God was the God of our forefathers, even though it had been so long. And God heard our voices, and not only did God hear our voices, but he saw our affliction and our work and our oppression. Vayotzeinu Adonai Mitzrayim b'yad chazaka v'izro netuyah v'mora gadol uvosos v'mofsim. And so God took us out of Egypt with a very strong hand, obviously speaking in an anthropomorphic sense, and with an outstretched arm, and with great awe, and with wonders, and with miracles. And the truth of the matter is, right, as we all remember on an annual basis, the rabbis, as we read largely from the Sifrei, the Medrash Halacha, they interpret these expressions, each of which to refer to something else, whether it was in terms of our afflictions or in terms of all of the wonderful things that God was able to do on our behalf. He brought us to this land flowing with milk and honey. Here I brought my first fruits, and the idea is that one would put the first fruits down in the basket and bow down. And you should enjoy all the bounty that God has given you. So it's interesting, the Mishnah says you're supposed to be Doresh Me'arami Ovid Avi until the end of that section of the Torah. So it should really go until Agerasher B'Kirbecha. You probably recognize from the Haggadah that where do we go up to on an annual basis? Just V'mora Gadol, V'osos, V'mofsim. And then from that point on, the Haggadah takes a turn. So we actually don't talk anything about having arrived in the land of Israel, which is really one of the interesting themes about the Haggadah in general, is that references to the land of Israel are very much few and far between. We keep it very much focused on leaving Egypt without focusing on the ultimate destination. Okay, so again, the simple reading of the Mishnah, Mascho Begnos U'Messayim B'Shevach, that part of the Chiyuv of Sipor Yetzias Mitzrayim, Reb Chaim of Brisk wrote a very famous essay on this topic. He thought this is one of the three factors that differentiated the annual mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim from the daily mitzvah, the twice daily mitzvah, every single day and every single night of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So one of the three things that differentiated it was this quality of the narrative arc. And then you have a separate obligation to V'doresh Me'arami Ovid Avi Ad Shigmor Kol HaParsha Kula. Okay. So that seems to be the simple reading of the Mishnah. What we'll see is that there's another way of interpreting the Mishnah altogether. So if I were to ask you what it means, Maschil Begnus and Messiah B'Shevach, that you start out with the degradation of the Jewish people and then you finish with this state of Shevach, of praise, the praise of God or praise of the Jewish people, what would you say that means? And what's the simplest interpretation of that? Exactly. So that is indeed what we find, let's say, in the Rashbam. That's what the Rav Avadya Bar Tanura says. And that seems to be, of course, very consistent with, you know, what we actually just read, to be honest, in the Mikra Bikurim in the Arami Oved Avi. Right? It tells the story of the Avodah Kasha. Then we called out to God, Vanitzakel Hashem Elokei Avosenu, and that God took us out of Egypt, Biad Chazaka, Uvizroa Netuyav, Umara Gadol. Okay? So it sounds like it's a pretty straightforward requirement. Yes?
So if you whichever. We're the ones degraded, right? But the praise is not due to us.
Right.
And so the object of the praise in Gnut is different.
Yeah, unless you say that Shevach here means the Shevach of the Jewish people. That we were now in a much more dignified state. See, like, especially if you follow what... But I think fits in nicely with what you said just a minute ago, because if it really is marking Avdus Techeros from slavery to freedom, so the freed man, right, is a more dignified man, a more praiseworthy man. So that could theoretically be symmetrical. So, as with everything in the Gemara takes what appears to be very simple on its face and shows us that things are much more nuanced than we might have otherwise imagined. So let's take a look at the Gemara. This is the Gemara Masech de Psachim Dav Kufte Zayin, which follows the Mishnah on the very same page. You have it in the fifth source. Maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shevach. So what does this mean? My bignus. So Rav Amar, so Rav doesn't say that we were slaves. Mitzchila ovdei avodas gilulim hayu avosenu. That our ancestors were idolaters. Ushmuel Amar avadim hayinu. Shmuel says, no, what it means is that we have to say that we were slaves. That's amazing. So apparently there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel what the narrative arc of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. So Shmuel takes the approach that I think we normally would have taken. The Rashbam and the Bartanura, they all sort of interpret the Mishnah this way, that you have to tell the story of going from being slaves to being free people. That's after all what happened, right? Vayotzienu Hashem in Mitzrayim. Well, God took us out of Egypt. B'yad chazaka v'izroa nutiya. But Rav says that's not the real story. That's not the real story. That happened. But that's not the essential story. What's the essential story? Mitzchila ov de avodah zara hayu avosein. Now he doesn't go on to say then what's the shevach, but it's implied. If the genus is that we were degraded, not so much in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense, that we had lost our way, that we had become like the pagans, like the Egyptians themselves, to be honest. So then what does it mean, umisayim b'shevach, that we should finish with praise? What's that?
That we're worshiping God.
Exactly. That it would mean that we come to a monotheistic faith. So let's take a look at the Rambam. It's an excellent question. Right? I mean, Mitzchila ov de avodah zara hayu avoseinu. Doesn't explain. Okay? So the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says the following. Okay? Mazgulo kosheni. So they pour the second cup, which is the sixth source. Vekana ben shol aviv. Maschol bignus. So you start out telling the degradation of the Jewish people. Effie, this is exactly what you anticipated. So husha yasapir, eich hayinu. We have to tell the story of how we were. Kodem Avram Avinu. Forget about going back to Egypt. How far are we going back now? To before Avram. Is Avram Jewish? It's a hard question to answer. We go all the way back before there was... Forget about going down to Egypt. Forget about Yaakov or Yitzchak or Avram. We're now going back to the very beginning. Mitzchila ov de avodah zara yu avoseinu, the Rambam says, Eich hayinu kodem Avram Avinu, Kofrim v'ovdei gilulim, u'mishtatvin Hashem yisbarach v'achar kach, and after all of this, this is the Messiah b'shevach, bachar banu Hashem yisbarach, v'eis kol atzlo'a asher mitzo'asnu b'mitzrayim, v'achar kach ge'alanu Hashem. So the Rambam if we're reading it carefully, says that of course Rav is correct. Mitzchilo of Avodah Zarah you have a say, no? And then God chose us and chose us for this higher purpose of monotheism. But this last line in the Rambam says something else. Ve'ez kol atla'a asher mitza'asne, all of the many things that we endured in Egypt, ve'achar kach ge'alanu, and then we were redeemed. So who does the Rambam rule like? Rav or Shmuel? What's that? Both. But the Rambam in the Parash HaMishnayos, the way that he formulates is, you see, he says both are correct, but that it's in what order? So it's almost in successive order. It's actually, first you tell Rav's story, Mitzchilo of Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, then we became monotheists, and then you tell the story of the suffering that the Jewish people had, Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim, and then we were taken out of Egypt. So for the Rambam, one story follows the other. First you have the spiritual story of the Jewish people, Maschol B'Gnosu Messiah B'Shevach. Now before Avram, of course, you know, we descended from Terach, so we must have been idolaters, and then of course, thank God we got on the track of monotheism. And then you tell the story of the national suffering of the Jewish people, and then the redemption of the Jewish people. That's the way the Rambam had it in the Parash HaMishnayos. Now the Rambam completed the Parash HaMishnayos when he was all of 18 years old. You know, so every, you know, passing day it gets, you know, more painful for me. But okay, this is what the Rambam presented it as early in his life. But we'll see is that the Rambam maintained a similar idea later in his life, but he came to a new understanding. He came to understand something deeper about the Mishnah that we started with, that same Mishnah that said, Maschil v'gnosu Messiah b'shevach, that we go from the degradation to that which is praiseworthy, about probably God and the Jewish people. But don't forget that last clause, and then you have to be Doresh mi'arami ovidavi ad sheigmar kol ha'parsha kula. Is that something separate? So let's pay very careful attention just to the simple words of the Rambam. If we read the Rambam carefully, good things will happen. So the Rambam says the following. This he wrote later in his life. This is in the Mishneh Torah. Here you have it in the seventh source. So the Rambam writes the following. V'tzarech lahaschil b'gnos. So there's a certain choreography to the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You begin with the degradation. Ulesayim b'shevach. Ketzad, how do you do this? Maschil, you start. U'misaper shebetzchila hayu avoseinu. B'mei terach. U'milfanav. Kofrim v'toyim achar ha'hevel v'rodfin machar avodas elilim. That they were completely submerged and ensconced and ensnared in idolatry and paganism. U'misayim, and you conclude, right? Maschil v'gnus, u'misayim b'shevach. B'das ha'emes, in the true faith. Shekirvanu ha'makom lo, that God brought us close to him. V'hiv dilanu meha umos, and he separated us out from all the other nations. V'kirvanu liyichudo, and he brought us very close to understanding his monotheistic essence. V'chein, and in parallel to this, maschil umodia, you start off and you make it known. Sha'avadim hayinu lefaro v'mitzrayim, that we were enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. V'chol ha'ro'ah shegimalanu, and all of the evil things that Pharaoh and the Egyptians did to us. U'misayim, again, using that same language of the Mishnah. Maschil, misayim. Maschil, misayim. Okay? U'misayim benisim b'niflo shenasu lanu u'v'cheruseinu, all the miracles and the wonders that took place to us and our liberation. Now let's read very carefully. V'hu sheyidrosh me'arami ovid avi ad sheyigmor kol ha'parsha. And that is to be doresh the story of Arami ovid avi until the end of that section of the Torah. V'chol ha'mosif u'marech v'drash parsha zo hareza mishubach. And anybody who expounds and extends and elongates this aspect is praiseworthy. So what understanding did the Rambam come to after decades about the Mishnah, which said, Maschol b'gnosu Messiah b'shevach, v'doresh me'arami ovid avi ad shigmar kol ha'parsha kula. What understanding did the Rambam come to? Yes, Dr. Gertler.
That's my question for you. Ad shigmar kol ha'parsha. How do we understand parsha?
Right. So the simple thing is in Torah, you know, you have the stuma. Right. We cut it off. Now, it's universal. If you look in the Rambam's Haggadah, even he doesn't go that far. Right? We cut off the three psukim that have to do with Israel. So we stick with the first four psukim.
But he's not using parsha in the sense.
No. Just the parshiyah. But what understanding did the Rambam come to? Good, okay. So that he had in the Parish of Mishnah, so he said that first you tell the story of the spiritual transformation of Jewish people, and then the physical transformation of the Jewish people. But there's something else here. What does he have that he didn't have in the Parish of Mishnayos? Okay. In what respect? So he says the first part is, as Rav said, to go from the transformation that we were idolaters to a nation of monotheists. Maskal Begnosim Messiah B'Shevach in the theological sense. And in parallel to that, then you do what Shmuel said, Avadim Hayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim, and then we were redeemed. What did the Rambam tack on at the end here? There's just one word that the Rambam changes from the Mishnah, but it changes our entire understanding of the whole evening. What does it mean to do Shmuel's part of the story? Shmuel's idea was to tell the story of the national transformation. Meaning? Okay, so just say it a little sharper. When we read the Mishnah, what did we say? In the Mishnah, we said, there are two laws in the Mishnah. There are two laws in the Mishnah. Maschil Bignosu Messiah Meshavach, number one, that we should start out with a degradation and end off with the elevation of the Jewish people. And we saw Machlokas, how do you understand that? Is that a theological transformation? Is that from being slaves to free people? Okay, that's Rav and Shmuel. And then what did the Mishnah say? V'doresh mi'arami o'viravi achiyik markol parashakula. A second halacha, that you have to go over the psukim from Sefer Dvarim, from Parshas Kisavo, about the Mikra Bikurim, and you have to explain them. Is that how the Rambam came to understand the Mishnah? Let's read the Rambam again. The Rambam says, V'chein maschil modia she'avadim hayinu l'faro b'mitzrayim. Just like we have to tell the theological story that we were transformed from slaves, from pagans, to monotheists, so then you go back and we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, v'chol harosh shigmalanu, all the terrible things that we experienced there, u'misayim, and we conclude b'nisim b'niflo shenasulanu, all of the wonderful things that happened to us, u'v'cheirusenu, and in our liberation, v'hu sheyidrosh me'arami ovidavi ad shigmar kol ha'parsha.
Kol ha'parsha brings us there to Israel.
Well, we're not going quite there.
V'hu?
V'hu, what do you mean, Effie? Good.
Each individual person?
V'hu means... Vehu means, and the way that you do that is by being Doresh Arami Ovedav. The Rambam came to a completely different understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not telling you two separate things. First, Maschil Begnus, Umisayim B'Shevach, and then being Doresh Arami Ovedav. Oh no. The Rambam came to understand is that one of the meanings of Maschil Begnus Umisayim B'Shevach, the degradation to the elevation and the exaltation, is to be achieved through the means of being Doresh Arami Oved Avi. Vehu Sheyidrosh Me Arami Oved Avi. So the Rambam, over the course of decades, came to understand that if we look into these few psukim, Arami oved avi vayered mitzrayma, vayagor sham bimsei ma'at, we were few in number, and of course, vayareu osanu ha-mitzrim vayanunu, that we suffered at the hands of the Egyptians, and they gave us avodah kasha, and then we called out to God, and God took us out of Egypt, vayotzeinu Hashem mitzrayim, biyad chazaka v'zro netuyah, uvimorim dolim, uvimoragadol v'ososim ofsim, etc., etc. The Rambam understood that those psukim themselves represent one version of Maschel Begnos from Misayim B'Shevach. Which version? Which version is told in Arami Oviravi? Shmuel. Exactly right. Shmuel, the national transformation of the Jewish people. But the farmer would come to the Beis HaMikdash and say, with the first fruits, he would tell the story. We didn't always have our own land. We used to be slaves in Egypt. This would not have been possible for my great-great-great-great-grandfather to have done. He didn't have a farm. He certainly didn't have a bounty to bring with him. So in the story of the farmer, the Rambam understood that there was a narrative transformation that took place. Maschil Begnus Umisayim B'Shevach. The farmer himself is looking back at where he came from and recognizing that if he has many wonderful things to bring with him to Yerushalayim, it wasn't always that way. It didn't start out that way. So the Rambam, to review, came to a very important understanding. The Mishnah that we started with says that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim follows a trajectory. We start out by telling the degradation of the Jewish people, and then we move to an elevated state of the Jewish people. What does that mean? We saw that's a machlokes in the Gemara. That's a matter of dispute. Rav says it means we tell the story of a theological transformation. Shmuel says it means we tell a national liberation story, that we were slaves and then we became free. The Rambam says you do both in that order. Mitzchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu, that our ancestors were indeed idolaters, and then God brought us closer to monotheism. Avram had a lot to do with that. But that wasn't the end of our struggle, because then we had to go through a national struggle where we were slaves and then we were redeemed. You actually have to do both, according to the Rambam. But then the Rambam understood something later on, which is that that last clause in the Mishnah of going through the Mikra Bikurim, the Arami Oved Avi section, is actually a way of being Mekayim, of fulfilling Shmuel's understanding, of telling the national liberation story. And we tell the national liberation story just as the farmer did in ancient times when he would go to the Beis HaMikdash and he would recount, as he was bringing his first fruits, the entire story of the travails of the Jewish people. So the Rambam had a remarkable chiddush in his understanding of the Mishnah. That to be Doresh Mi'arami Oved Avi is not a separate halacha, separate and distinct from the narrative arc of beginning with degradation and concluding in exaltation, but it is in and of itself the very fulfillment of that requirement. So now let's ponder that for just a moment together. The Rambam understood, just 1 second, Robin, pose the question. I'll take Robin's question in a second. The Rambam came to an understanding that we are not the first group of people to engage in a maschil begnus misayim b'shevach, in beginning with degradation and concluding in exaltation. The Rambam even understood that this was not a mitzvah that was limited to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that this was a mitzvah done on an annual basis by every farmer who had first fruits. What can we learn from that? What can we learn as we sit at our Siddurim less than a month from now, and we go through this entire process of being Doresh Me'arami Ovid Avi, now with the understanding that what the farmer did every single year was the template for what we are doing annually at the Seder? Just contemplate that question for a second. Robin, I think, has a different question.
No, just the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that that's part of life. You have to start from Sarot. You have to start from a point of giving birth, the pains of birth. You have to still having the joy and the ebullition of then seeing the live, new life.
No question.
It's the same with every phase of life. you know, you appreciate the goodness after you've endured some mar. And whether it was Har Sinai, whether it was the Egel HaZahav, where it was going through the Midbar for Arba'im Shana, whatever it was, they had the bad, and then they could appreciate, you know, they had the makot, they had, you know, then they could appreciate.
No question. So that is true, the general life, the more a person has gone through, the harder a person has worked for something. As we say, Hazorim Bedima, those who sow with tears, Berina Yitzori, they will be the ones that experience true joy. And here's what makes it, I think, even that much more fascinating. This farmer who brings his first fruits, was he a slave in Egypt?
No.
He was not. But what does the Torah require him to do anyway?
Remember as if he were.
Exactly. That's Eva, you said it perfectly. Yeah. Everybody wants to ask the question. And this is exactly why I started where I did. Do we really have these powers of imagination? Of Chayav Adam Liros as Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam Mimitzrayim? Are we kidding? Can we really imagine that we were slaves? And then somehow we were liberated? Maybe our ancestors. We didn't experience that. So the Rambam, through his understanding, says, it's a good question, it's a fair question. But it's not a new question. And it's not a new responsibility. Because that's what the Torah required of the farmer every single year. That as he brought his bounty, that he should remember that the history did not start with his generation. That he should remember that everything that he carries in his hands from the fruits of Israel were but a twinkle in the eye of a previous generation who yearned for it, who aspired towards it, but whose life was one of grinding slavery. And if he, that farmer, could be required every single year to imagine himself in the scope of history, then that too is our requirement on an annual basis. So as we sit down less than a month from now, at our Seder table, that is precisely what we are called upon to do. To imagine that life for us did not begin in the 20th century. Look around the room, I'm safe saying that. The other rooms in? If I was in school, it'd be the 21st century. But that our story started a very long time ago. And that all of the wonderful things that we have because of the generations that came before us. Robin.
When I'm in Israel for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaShoah and then Yom HaAtzma'ut, that is the exact way, that's why I go and stay for that, because you feel the history, all of the programs that they have on the Moshav, reenact what was, reenact the gratitude they have to those who sacrifice, and dedicate themselves to the young for the future. So that's exactly the theme that they do.
So if we could imagine, that's exactly what the Torah itself wanted us to do on Pesach. The Torah asked us to do something quite challenging, but not unprecedented, because the farmer had to do it every single year, which is to recognize that we have many blessings that would have been unimaginable to a previous generation, and that we have to go back to the very beginning. Maschil b'gnus u'misayim b'shevach. And that means, as Jewish people, two things. First, it means that we have to go back spiritually, theologically. We have to remember that what we take for granted, the simplest thing that every Jewish child knows, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that was a hard battle. It wasn't obvious to the world when Avram came along. He was alone. He was thrown into a fiery furnace for spreading these dangerous ideas. He fought wars with the powers of his generation, the four kings and the five kings, that largely had to do with this idea. Jewish people throughout the ages martyred themselves for the notion of monotheism as we understood it. And so we tell that part of our story, our spiritual struggle. But in parallel to that, we don't choose between Rav and Shmuel. We tell the story of our national liberation. But the truth is, it's not just one story of we were in Egypt and then we were taken out of Egypt. But what do we put into the Haggadah? Bechol dor vador omdim aleinu l'chaloseinu. That story repeats itself in every generation of bondage and suffering and then redemption. And we understand that all of the things that we have today, and again, it's never perfect, but we have so much to be grateful for. All of these things are a result of previous generations, their spiritual sacrifices and their physical sacrifices. And so the Rambam concludes with those words, V'chol ha-mosef u-ma'arich v'drash parsha zo, and anybody who can add on to it, hareze mishubach. You know why? Because there's no way that you could, at least before Chatzos anyway, finish the story of Jewish history. And the more chapters one adds, the more that one sees that this process of spiritual struggle and national struggle go on in every single generation, the more that one can see oneself in light of the past, hareza meshubach, this is a very praiseworthy thing. And you know, this is our great challenge. And it's not our challenge just for ourselves, and this I'll conclude, but for our children and our grandchildren as well. The greatest and most important thing that we can do for the future is to give future generations a sense that they belong to this great epic. That they represent the next chapter in an epic that has so many chapters and generations that came before. Spiritual chapters, Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu, national suffering chapters, Avadim Hayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim, all intertwined with each other. And we're living in a time where that can't be taken for granted, certainly not in this country, where there are other narratives that compete for their attention, how they understand themselves, who they understand themselves to be. Who am I? 21st century American. And Seder night is an opportunity at its core to bring the next generations into that story and to say that all of the things of the present, all of the things that you go through, all those are true and real, and to validate those, but especially to help this generation to see itself as part of a very long story, going back to Avram Avinu and even beyond. And when you have a person that feels a sense of obligation towards the past, that is the single greatest guarantor of the future. I tell you this, when you encounter somebody who feels obligated to people who no longer walk the face of this earth, but feels that they are owed something, that his life or her life must honor their lives, then you have a commitment. In essence, that is what we are doing on Seder night. We have an obligation to Avram and the struggles that he fought for monotheism. We have an obligation to those who struggled in Egypt and the struggles that they fought. And bechol dor vador, throughout the generations. And we dare not abandon that struggle now. When the farmer brought his fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, he had so much in his hands. He could have simply taken those fruits and enjoyed them with his family, but the Torah said, you may not do so. Before you partake of those fruits, you have to understand that you have an obligation to a previous generation. So go to Yerushalayim with those fruits and tell their story. Tell the story of the people who suffered in Egypt in a land that was not their own, where they couldn't farm their own land, where they couldn't experience the joy of reaping their own fruits and feeding their own families. You have an obligation to their story. And if we can unlock this for the next generation, if we can make them feel that they are part of this story, and that all of those people from generations past look towards them from above to continue that story forward, then they will absolutely remain committed. No, it's easier said than done.
Much easier
said than done. But that's what Seder night is about. Make no mistake about it. That's what we're trying to do. It's not just about a holiday. Seder night transcends any one night, any one holiday. It's our night to address ourselves to the future by using the past. Say, we have an obligation to all those who came before us in their physical struggles, in their spiritual struggles. And thus the Rambam understood two things. Number one, we don't choose between Rav and Shmuel. We don't only tell the story of national suffering like Shmuel, or the story of spiritual struggle. They both come together. That's number one. And he also understood that what the Torah required every single year of the farmer is exactly what's required of us. Not simply to enjoy the present, the fruits that are in front of us, but to understand that these fruits have very, very, very deep roots. Roots in previous generations. Roots in previous locations and places. And hopefully, through that understanding that the Rambam gave us of this entire topic, if we can create a sense in the current generation, the next generations, of obligation towards the past, that in its own right will be the guarantor of the future. Thank you very much.